are listening to the Elephant in the Room podcast with your host, Sutta Singh. Each week, we will bring you a diverse range of inspiring speakers on issues of inequality and inequity. You will hear stories about fairness, justice, belonging, and about best practice for creating a more inclusive workplace. So, if you are an individual or leader interested in a fairer, equitable, compassionate society and workplace, this podcast is for you.
My guest today is Jennifer Risi, president and founder of The Sway Effect, one of the fastest growing marketing and communications agencies in the US today. Before starting The Sway Effect, Risi spent 8 years at Ogilvy, serving as worldwide chief communications officer and global managing director of Ogilvy's media influence. Jennifer is a champion for diversity, often writing and speaking on key issues. She's also a member of the 4A's Foundation Board and forged Ogilvy's membership with the Unstereotype Alliance. Jennifer was named a PR News Top Woman in PR for 3 years in a row and was inducted into the 2019 PR Week Hall of Fame. She has won multiple awards for her corporate reputation and nation branding campaigns from the Holmes Report, PR Week, and Cannes Lions. Welcome to the show, Jennifer. Tell us a bit more about your journey. I know of you and some of the incredible work you've done from my time at Ogilvy. Tell us about your background and maybe a bit about your childhood.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here. And I loved when we met when we were at Ogilvy. It seems like eons ago. My journey is a little interesting. So girl from New York, Queens, New York, very humble background. Grew up very small Italian family. Most Italian families are very big. Mine's kind of small. I'm an only child. I'm very close with my family. I grew up in an Italian neighborhood, very Catholic. I was a big tennis player. I was ranked and I played competitive tennis even through college. I was in the Honor Society. I played soccer. I played softball. I was very well-rounded. And then I went to Barnard College, a women's college in New York, part of Columbia University, which at the time, I'll be honest with you, I don't even know if I fully appreciated that, seeing everything that's going on in the world today. But my dad encouraged me to go there and I did. And it's given me a foundation that I've used throughout my career. And I was a psychology major, and I really thought that I was going to become a psychologist. I thought I was going to become a therapist. But being in communications, you can use psychology every day. So that was kind of what I did. So I was a psychology major. I needed to figure out what I wanted to do. My boyfriend and I at the time went to Italy for vacation for like 2 weeks right after graduation. And then when I came home, my parents said, you have to get a job. And I believe you fall into where you're supposed to be. And I got a call from the career services at Barnard from a company called Shanwick International at the time. Weber Shanwick would become their name eventually, to interview for a corporate communications job. I didn't even know what communications was. I went to a liberal arts school. And so when I went in for the interview, I was like, okay, well, I got to get a job. So it was like Simon & Schuster Book Publishing or Shanwick International Communications. And so my career was born. I got into corporate communications. My first client was KPMG Tax Services. Wow. And I learned how to tell stories and I loved it. It was a blend of what I love to do. I love psychology. I love media. I love just the news. And it was something I never even knew existed because I didn't study this in school. Fast forward 20 years later, you know, I've built a great career. I mean, I was at Weber for 12 years, Ogilvy for 8. And then honestly, you know, a little over a year ago, I decided, you know what? I want to create a company and I want to create an environment that I knew clients wanted to be at, teams wanted to work at, and that I wanted to work with some of my colleagues and my friends in the industry all over the world that do amazing work in whatever craft that they're a specialist in, whether it be PR, creative, brand strategy, social impact, et cetera. And so The Sway Effect honestly just came to me. I was no joke. I was in the shower and I'm like, I like the name Sway. Why don't we think about what this could look like? And so like I started to Google like Sway, Sway Group, Sway Effect. And I actually had lunch with Kim Sample from the PR Council. And she was like, how about the Sway Effect? And it was amazing to me when I first started the company that so many people came out of the woodwork and were just so helpful. It wasn't even just clients that wanted to work with me. It was colleagues who wanted to collaborate with me or help me design the logo or like help me come up with the name of the company. And so I know this is probably kind of a long answer, but the journey was, it was exciting. And honestly, I think this is where I'm supposed to be. I know people have always told me over my career, you're meant to run your own company. You're meant to do your own thing. You're not meant to be in the corporate world. And I was always like, what do you mean? I like working in the corporate world and I do great work with clients and I love teams and blah, blah, blah. And they were like, no, you're meant to run your own thing and be an entrepreneur. And how fast this has come together and how fast we have a certain level of clients and we have a built out global network. This is what I was supposed to be doing. And I didn't name it Genreese Communications. I named it the Sway Effect because I want everyone who works here or works with us to have a vested interest in our future.
That's such an incredible story. I love all the elements of it, including what you majored in and then how you got into communications and then your journey to actually setting up your own agency, the Sway Effect. But also it sounds very timely. And perhaps the model that you have is what the agency of the future is going to look like.
The agency of the future, I don't think there's one size fits all. I think you're going to see different models continue to emerge. But I think what the success of the future agency model is going to be built on agility. It's going to be on the ability to adapt. It's going to be on the ability to move quickly and be flexible. I mean, what we're doing right now, I don't even see us as an agency for our clients. I see us as an extension of their team. The clients see us as their advisors that have an equal seat at the table. Like a lot of our clients even have us on their leadership team. They have us in all of their meetings. So, you know, when people bring us on and brands bring us on, like either we are the communications function or we are the senior advisors and executors sitting with the heads of comms as an equal player on their team and at their table. And so to me, the future of the industry is that it's serving as an extension of the client team. But also, you know, what I wanted to do is I wanted to break down all of the bureaucracy. You know, being at the big agencies sometimes, it's slow and it's not as agile as it needs to be. And you can't respond as much as you want. And the cost is like insane. And yes, we work with major brands, but even major brands don't want to spend more than they need to. And so, you know, what I'm seeing right now, and it's not just me, I've seen a lot of senior people who are amazing at what they do, either start their own agency or start an agency and then become part of a network. And I don't think it's because of COVID. I think this trend was happening long before. I just think it's been accelerated. And I think that what I've seen is even in my PR, we call a FEM class where we grab for 2019, three of us have become very good friends, Carolyn Detman, Cheryl Overton, and myself. Each of us have started our own agencies in the matter of a year. That is very interesting. Even if you can't explain it, you're like, that's interesting. All went from big corporate roles to now all run their own agency. And they all were just honored as part of like women that are getting it done and are cutting edge in the industry. So I really do, we're onto something. I believe we're onto new things that are going to happen, but more importantly, we're ready for them. And because we've set up the teams in such a way, we can be as agile as we need to be. And I really do believe that what we're doing is the future. And honestly, if I was some of the bigger agencies, I would start to look at how these smaller networks are working because it's not sustainable, especially in the economy right now. It is not sustainable to have that much cost that you have to carry to be able to reflect the work that you need to do because the cost doesn't reflect the work. They always had too many people for the work that needed to be done.
Absolutely. And sometimes it's the vanity by the clients that you have in one of the bigger agencies. And I think the best work done is always when you're working as an extension of the team. One of the key strands for the Sway Effect is diversity and inclusion. What does it mean for you? And how are you going to, as an agency, integrate it within the work that you do?
Well, I think we walk the talk, right? So it can't just all be lip service. You actually have to live your values and live your beliefs and live your brand. And so we are actually advising our clients and everything that we do of how to just think about things differently. And in some ways, that is about diversity, equity, inclusion. Because I truly believe you need to have teams that reflect the societies and populations you're serving. If you have an all white male team trying to come up with a product to reach women of color, that doesn't work. And I'm sure you remember from being at the big agencies, there were plenty of meeting rooms coming up with work that was not going to reflect the target they were going after. And so that's really who we are at the center of what we do, is we need to make sure we bring different perspectives, different voices, just different experiences to the table on behalf of our clients so that we can produce the best work possible. I don't know everything. You don't know everything. If we don't bring people who are different than us to the table, we're going to not think about something. We're not going to think about a solution. We're not going to, in a certain way. We're not going to think about how do we reach a certain audience, because everybody thinks, oh, I could do that. Well, you can, but it can be better if you're inclusive and bring different perspectives in. I mean, I wrote an article when I first started Sway about, you know, I hire not like the nonconformist employee. I don't hire people that are just PR people. I like to hire people that have different perspectives because I want that different point of view. If I hired everyone that looked like me and had my experiences, that would be boring. And honestly, we wouldn't do that great of work. So to bring in different people from different backgrounds, different geographies, and honestly, just different walks of life just helps us do great work. And so I felt we needed to include DE&I in our mission because I wanted our clients and our employees to really see we mean it.
You have done some great work. And I think one of your clients is Anita.B, and you do a lot of work for UN Women's He for She campaign. So you have a history of doing that. But is it the role of communications advisors to tell clients to be more inclusive, especially in today's world?
I think you have to. To be a good strategist and be a good communicator, you have to open your clients' eyes and just give them advice from all facets of how they tackle a problem and solution. You have to be the one that kind of puts the mirror against them and says, okay, this is where you are. This is where you need to be. Do I think it should be the only thing you're talking about? No, but I think it needs to be a part of your strategy and your recommendation, because how are you going to do good work if you're not inclusive in how you do it? Like for AnitaB.org, who's all about driving diversity in the tech industry, the platform we came up for them is inclusive technology. And it seems so simple, but it was like, well, how are you going to actually create a better tech industry? Well, if you're inclusive of a broader population, like women, people of color, that's actually going to make a dominant industry, which is, could be almost like 70, 80% white men, it's going to help change the dynamic of what the outputs are put into the world. And candidly, we all use technology. We all need to figure out how to communicate and network with each other. And unfortunately, sometimes you have certain industries that are not as inclusive as they should be. So for AnitaB, when we said, you know, you're all about driving D&I in the industry, in the tech industry, they do their annual event, Grace Hopper, which has literally 35,000 people. They just did it virtually. It had 35,000 people, which was amazing. And so it's like, that is the perfect platform and forum to really move the mission forward. Pay equity, gender parity, how do you be more inclusive? So it's not the only thing that they're doing, but is a key tenet of what they do. And so every client is different, but you have to have this inclusive mindset in how you're communicating today, or your brand won't resonate. It just won't work.
And I think people are seeing through those who are not very inclusive in how they engage with their external stakeholders.
Exactly.
What are the three big challenges that agencies face in a post-COVID-19 world?
Well, I think it's one, growth, growth, growth. To your point earlier about our model, we have been very fortunate. We have been extremely busy. I am not going to take advantage of that fact. I'm not going to complain, because there are a lot of people that are not. But I would say what I've seen right now is, if you are good at what you do and people know what you do and they need the help, especially now more than ever, they're going to reach out to the experts that they need. And in our industry, it's always about talent. If you don't have the right talent, you're not going to have the brand, you're not going to have the clients, and you're not going to do great work. So to really grow, which is going to be the number one thing that agencies are going to think about, I think agencies have to rethink their talent mix. They need to rethink the work that they do. They need to rethink, like, just honestly how they operate, because smaller players like me, and it's not just me, there's many others like me too. This is a time where some of us are doing the best work of our careers. I can tell you, I have one of our biggest clients is Beck & Dickinson. They're a Fortune 200 med tech player. They are doing amazing work in COVID regarding point of care testing. The work we're doing with them, I've never done this level of work and strategic thinking, execution, to honestly just making a difference in the world. It is about growth, but I'm seeing right now, if you're good at what you do, you are always going to grow.
That's the way it's going to be. If you don't have growth, you're not going to exist as an agency. Is this a moment of pause, reset, or the new normal?
I think it's a little bit of everything. I think that we're not going to go back to what was, but maybe that's okay. I'm one of those optimistic people that believes everything happens for a reason, and there has to be a reason this is happening. Maybe things got out of control. Maybe we need to get back to being kinder and nicer to each other. Maybe we have to figure how to come together more as a global community. I know that there's been a lot of issues, especially where I live in America. It is probably one of the most contentious times I've ever seen. But I also have seen good things. I've seen people come together more than I ever have. I've seen families reconnect. I've seen people just get back to what made them happy. So, you know, I think there is good to come. And I also think it is a time of reset for the business community in the fact that they need to take a look at what's going on in the world and how they're going to adapt, not only for their employees, but for their customers as well. And it is an opportunity for them to do better. It's an opportunity for them to give back. And, you know, lip service is not going to work right now. Customers, consumers, they're smarter than ever. Like, if people are just talking to talk and it's a PR stunt, it's going to see through it. But, you know, times like this, for brands that really are authentic and genuine, this is a time where they can actually strengthen relationships with their customers and grow relationships with customers. Because if they actually do substantive things, it's actually going to help them go on a path to growth and longevity and just be where they need to be. Because I've seen it. I've seen brands right now really rise to the occasion. I've also seen brands that have just done it for lip service. But if you actually take advantage of what's going on right now, you could emerge stronger. You know, both as a business world, but more importantly, as a society. I think we can do better. And I hope that this moment in time and this pause reset, as you said, is going to help us all just get to a better place. Because I have to be optimistic. I cannot believe this has just happened and we're all doom and gloom. Because otherwise, then how do you get up every day?
I think there has to be hope. And I agree with you on brands being called out when they've been opportunistic. But also that I have noticed, like you mentioned, that people are kind. They've been incredibly kind over the past 8 months, 10 months. And you'd never think that people would come together so well. I think we've discovered our ability as human beings to actually adapt and be kind and be good in the face of such difficulties.
I couldn't agree with you more. That has been something that has really warmed my heart, because it's hard. There's no beginning or end to the day anymore. Like, literally, it's 24/7. Mm-hmm. It is unbelievable. And we have to take care of each other and we have to take care of ourselves. But I've seen such acts of kindness and humanity that it is encouraging to me that maybe this all did happen for a reason.
There is a positive message in there. What is the role of purpose in organizations?
I think that, you know, purpose needs to be central to what brands do. Brands need to define who they are and then live it. But in times like this, a brand's purpose is really put to the test. As I said, I've seen so many brands really rise to the occasion, whether they have created products and services and even put them into the market for free just to do good for the world. Or I've seen brands go into action like I've never seen before to respond to the challenges of today and tomorrow. So I think purpose is central, and purpose needs to be the guiding principle for any brand, because I think that at its root, you need to have your purpose driving everything. And the brands that lose their way and don't function that way are the ones that don't resonate and are the ones that honestly have a lot of challenges with whether people think they're authentic or not.
You know, we've all noticed while working, you've worked for 20 years, me for a bit longer, not all clients have the patience or the appetite to pause and reflect. They have a thought and an idea, and somebody in the business wants to do something and they just want to run with it. It's very transactional and it's very tactical in nature. What role do we have during this time? Do you step away from doing this sort of work? Or do you actually try to push your client to be different?
Well, the role that I feel like we are to play are to be senior strategists. And sometimes that's delivering a good message, and sometimes that's delivering a message that the brand doesn't want to hear. But I think we have to be their conscience, and I think we need to be the strategists that are going to help them navigate these uncertain waters. So a lot of my day is spent giving feedback to ideas that I hear or things that clients say they want to do. And sometimes I offer alternatives. Sometimes I directly have to say, that's not going to work. That's going to appear tone deaf and no. And then sometimes clients just get it right all the time. So I think that our job is to really be like the truth teller. We need to be able to tell clients what they need to hear. And, you know, PR people historically are yes people. They like to just say, yes, yes, let's do that. Yes, 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 yes. And I've never functioned that way. I've probably have fans and supporters, and I probably have naysayers and enemies who like don't agree with how I approach stuff, but I'll always be authentic. You'll always know where you stand. I'll always give it to you straight. That's how I am with the teams I manage, but also with the clients I work with. And I think that's part of the reason why we have such an extensive client roster is because brands trust people who tell the truth and are honest and authentic. And I think whoever hires me knows they're going to get amazing work, but they also know they're going to get the truth. Yeah. I will sometimes be like, that is never going to work, but we can do this. I will always give an alternative. I will never just say no and like hang the phone up, but I will always challenge our clients to do better and question things when I think they're wrong. And I think that to be a good communication strategist, you need to do that. But too many people in our industry just yes the client because they think they have to stroke the ego for the budget. That's one of the benefits of having my own company now, is I don't have to do that anymore.
I love the word truth teller and trusted advisor. You know, as PR folks, communications people, we do not often directly deal with big data, but support organizations in dealing with the fallouts, whether it is data leaks or some cyber security issues. With the proliferation of social media and misinformation, rising nationalism, what, according to you, is the role of ethics in communications?
Oh, you need to be honest and ethical in everything that you do, because unfortunately, if you're not, it will be found out. In this world today, everything gets found out. It might not be today, it might not be tomorrow, but the truth always comes out. We have started to bring in additional partners to help us monitor conversations, to monitor communication. So we have data analytics, creative machine learning agency that I just brought in to help me with Beck and Dickinson, one of our largest clients, to help us with all their social media monitoring and helping BD create a real-time dashboard to monitor conversations and be able to react to what's happening in the industry and also see what the competitor landscape is doing. So those type of truth teller tools is what brands need. And so, you know, I believe that you have to be true to your brand, live your purpose, as we talked about earlier. And I think, you know, this is a time where you need to really be truthful in all of your communication, because right now, if you're not, everything will come out at some point. I just assume everything I'm doing is ethical with our clients. because I would never make a recommendation that it's not. And I would be working with a brand that would function that way anyway. So I agree, we need to reflect and ask the question. But I'm just telling you, as a day-to-day practitioner dealing with the media and things I see every day, I just automatically work that way, that it's just so second nature. I would assume everyone else does, but I know they don't.
It's not a choice anymore. What are the skills for future PR practitioners? Agencies are changing, you know, the comms function internally, externally is changing. Internal has become such a big priority. Younger people, how should they be looking at skills? And do you need to constantly be learning and evolving? Because the world is so different. You have different parts of different times of your life now.
You should never stop learning. I mean, that's the part of the reason I created the Sway Effect Network, was to have other brands, other agencies that were going to teach me things. For example, data analytics. I'm not a data analytics expert, but they've taught me a lot in the past 3 months. And I now know more than I did before. So I believe if I'm not learning every day, every week, that something's wrong. So you never should stop learning. And that's how I encourage our teams to be, and always be inquisitive and always want to learn more. For basic skills, obviously being a good writer, being able to have good verbal communication, being confident, because in our industry, you have to be able to be confident and speak a message. But I would say, like, for me, when I'm looking to hire people, I hire based on my gut. I don't have hour-long interviews. I can probably have a 15-minute interview and be like, okay, this person can do it or they can't. And then I'll look at their portfolio or I'll look at their press clips or whatever. But I've always hired based on this person's going to work or this person's not. I have a person on my team who graduated college, like, not even that long ago. She's become such an integral part of my team. She went to Barnard like I did. I met her through Beyond Barnard, which is one of the career services that they provide. Through one of the deans, he said, you should meet this girl, Natalie. And I did. And she's amazing. And I've hired her and she's become an integral part of my team. Again, non-traditional hire, someone right out of school, who's literally now our director of brand strategy, because she's an amazing strategist. She can write speeches for CEOs without even me having to really edit them. She's been able to help me develop messaging for a lot of our clients, which is well beyond her years. So again, I hired her based on gut. I hired her based on I thought she could do the job and we'd see if it would work. But I also think you have to have a hunger and a passion. I think that in this industry, you have to have a hunger for news. You have to have a hunger to want to help brand. You have to want to learn. You're going to have to want to work hard. This is not an easy industry. This is a 24/7 job because we're managing news cycles and helping manage communications for so many of the biggest brands in the world. And so you're going to have that passion. And that's not a skill. That's an essence of a person. And that's what I look for when I hire. Are you inquisitive? Are you passionate? Are you an independent thinker? Are you someone that's just going to go make a decision? And you know what? If it's wrong, you learn from it, but you weren't afraid to make a decision, no matter if you're an entry-level person, a mid-level person, or a senior person.
It does. The last question, considering you've spoken about 24/7, the blurring of boundaries between personal and work, how do you ensure that you are mindful to take good care of yourself, your health, mental health? Because if you don't, you're not likely to be able to support your clients or brands or yourself.
I think in the beginning, when COVID first happened, I was one of those people that didn't think this was going to be as big of an issue as it is, let alone go on as long as it has. So we just went all in at the beginning because I just figured, oh, this will be a couple of weeks, maybe a month or two, whatever. But as it went on, you realize that you have to have balance. So I've started to put boundaries in place of when I will take calls and when I will not. And, you know, it's hard. You have to balance it because our clients are 24/7 because their clients are 24/7. But I would say that I've put more boundaries in place. I've encouraged the team to take time off. I've encouraged the team to go offline at a certain point. I've hired more people so that there's more of a balance. Any one person is not overburdened, but there's no easy answer. I would say it's hard right now, like, because we are in a people service business, a consultative business. We have to react to what the clients are seeing and what the clients need. Yeah. It is a 24/7 environment, but I try to put flexibility into that 24/7 environment so that, yes, we're always accessible and we're always there, but there has to be some downtime, because if there's not, the work's going to suffer. So we have to be able to say, okay, on Saturday and Sunday, we are not going to have conversations. Sometimes clients need to call. There's crises. Yeah. We get it. Every client has a crisis almost every week, it seems like, on a rotational basis. But right. It is, as I said, we're doing some of the best work of our careers. I really do believe that in a lot of us. I've seen some of the work being done and it's awesome. However, we are functioning in an environment that I've never seen this challenging, because I don't see anyone shutting off. And you're seeing burnout, you're seeing tensions getting too high. I think that you have to take a step back, because we cannot lose the humanity in all of this, because our clients are people, we are people, and ultimately we are providing a service, yes, but we are only going to be as good as we can communicate and work together. So we have to always have a refresh to be able to do our best work. So I've also tried to encourage our clients, when some of our clients work 24/7, I'm like, I think you should go home. Like, I've actually said that to some of them.
I think that's great advice. On that note, thank you so much, Jennifer. I love your passion, energy, the work that you're doing. And I hope that we will be able to collaborate beyond the podcast on other things. So thank you.
I would love it. Much. Thank you for having me.
It has been a pleasure.
Thank you for joining us this week on the Elephant in the Room podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on any of your favorite platforms: iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcast. And if you enjoyed listening to the podcast today, don't forget to write a review and tell your friends. Sign up on the link in the show notes to receive updates on our guest speakers, blogs, and events. And don't forget to tune in every Thursday for new episodes.